All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. We have a lot to talk about today. We began yesterday with talking about Red Dawn and the possible invasion into America, but you know, we're gonna have to put that on hold a little bit, even though this all really compiles itself together into the eventuality. Currently, if you have not been watching, Russia has invaded Ukraine. I was up until 4:30 in the morning watching various different news agencies and monitoring the situation to the best of my ability. And I'm quite tired. I have 4 pages worth of notes, and it's just not enough to cover everything that's happening. Most of you are probably aware of what's happening right now. We, as the United States and NATO and the UN, are not holding up to our part of the bargain when it comes to defending Ukraine. Back in the early 90s, our government, along with the British government, convinced Ukraine to dispose of their nuclear weapons, and in return, they would be protected from any type of Soviet aggression from their Western alliances of America and the EU. That is not what's happening right now. I watched last night as the United Nations Security Council meeting was happening, and the ambassador to Ukraine was begging for the chairman of the United Nations Security Council to have his country and his president to stop invading into Ukraine, to not kill any more people. And if you didn't know this, the head of the UN Security Council is the Russian Federation. And one of the subsidiary members is the Ukraine. And here is their ambassador begging and pleading. And then asking, once there was no remark from the chairman, who could not care less that Ukraine was being invaded, he asked if they would come to a vote to remove the chairman and bestow the chairmanship to another country. Didn't happen. As Ukraine is being invaded, as people are dying, not one country spoke up. Now, plenty of them said that they disagree with Russia. Plenty of them said that what Russia is doing is wrong, and they condemn them. And now everybody's pulling out the sanction card. But while we're saying that Russia is not going to be able to spend their ruble with parts of Western society, they're still there invading the country. They're still killing people. Ukraine, right now, is on the run. People are evacuating from cities at the toll of millions. I don't know how many people will be spared from this, but I can tell you those who are being targeted. Any person in Ukraine that's going to carry a firearm in the protection of themselves and their country will be a target of opportunity. Politicians will become a target of opportunity. Law enforcement will become a target of opportunity. The military is being strategically hunted down. Even though Putin did ask very politely if they would just lay their arms down and not intervene in this invasion. And do not be fooled. This is not a peacekeeping mission. This is an invasion. Who else will be hunted down? Well, Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is now currently the most wanted man in Ukraine. He will be captured, most likely, if there is no intervention for him or for the Ukrainian parliament, they will be captured. Hopefully they will not be tortured. But this is what we face right now. Put yourself in their shoes. Witness through your own eyes what another nation looks like when a superpower comes for them. For generations, people have felt the might of the American power. Now we're seeing it in a different light. For decades, we have said that the biggest threat to national security has been communism, radical extremism from socialists, Nazis, fascists, communists, the Soviets, the Chinese, nuclear missiles, weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons, biological weapons, radiological weapons, terror groups, and all those are true. But currently the biggest threat and instability to national security, or to international security, let's say that, is a quiet, beaten down, weakened American resolve. If we put ourselves up on the mantle to become the world's police, then where were we when Trudeau became a tyrant? Where were we when ISIS was horrifically and systematically holocausting Christians throughout Syria and Iraq? And where are we now with the destruction of Ukraine? As a former member of the military, I feel very disgusted by what I'm seeing. There are probably plenty of military units that are on high alert right now. But where are they? Ukraine has been pleading for our help. Where is our response? A parliamentary member last night on Fox News was speaking with Laura Ingraham, and he asked the American people to ask your American government to declare a no-fly zone and to rule the air over Ukraine so that the bombings would stop. Bravely enough, he said, "We will take care of fighting the Russians on the ground. We're not asking for that. But we do not have the air superiority that the Russians do. America, you do. America, you were supposed to protect us. We agreed to lay down our nuclear arms, our nuclear deterrent. And when Russia finally came beating the door down, where were you?" Many people a long time ago would ask that question, where were you on 9/11? Now we can ask ourselves, where was America when Russia invaded Ukraine? Where were we whenever the last, I don't know, almost 10 years of supporting the Ukrainian government and their military and law enforcement with training, with weapons, with intelligence gathering, with drone coverage? with billions of dollars being sent for their infrastructure and for their country, where were we yesterday when Russia invaded? Now, I may sound a little bit double-minded here. I do not want to go into Ukraine. I do not want men and women in America to die in Ukraine. But if we are going to charge ourselves as the hero of the world, then either be that or stop saying that we are. If we say that we are the last bastion of hope for freedom, for safety, and then we completely turn our heads as Ukraine is crying out for the same thing, then we don't deserve that mantle. During the Revolutionary War, if we had not sent Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and others to levy a response from the French to support us against the fight against the British, we would have inevitably lost that Revolutionary War at the toll of probably hundreds of thousands. That being said, because France took a gamble, they sided with us, and their fleets helped us, we were able to win our independence permanently. That is the Ukrainian hope. But that is not the same United States. Since Ukraine has now been invaded, we have to look back at how did we lose this war? How did we allow this war to be lost so easily? We didn't lift a finger. Now, it did just begin, right? It began last night. But we have had assets on the ground for quite a while. We could have mobilized our troops in quite a while ago. We could have put a deterrent in there. We chose not to. Joe Biden chose not to. Let's ask the question. What would Trump have done? Would Trump have shown weakness? Would Trump have done more than just sanctions? Would Trump have met eye to eye with Putin and demanded he stop or he face the fire and the fury? I think we all know the answer to that question. I'm at a loss for words. Like I said, I'm tired. But if you're going to be in this business, you have to be about this business, and you have to stay up to date as much as possible. I will stress to everyone, the sanctions are going to hurt the ruble, the Russian economy. And then most likely something is going to occur in this country because of that. So, buyer beware. We're probably going to see a extreme gas hike soon. I strongly suggest you go and fill up your tanks, your gas tanks. I strongly suggest you fill up your little 5 and 8 gallon tanks as well. We already know that gas is projected to get to $7. That was before Russia invaded. Now we're not going to be getting any oil from Russia at all. So that's going to hurt. We're going to probably force Saudi Arabia to pump out even more oil, even though we won't really tap into our own reserves, even though Biden said he might. I doubt that he will. Well, let's see.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, The American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Well, welcome back. This is American Vindicta. This is episode 68, by the way. Today's date is February 24th. 2022. Let's get on to a little bit of news. This is what I have so far from what I've gathered. Now, it's kind of sporadic because the news has been very sporadic with the fog of war being so thick lately. Let's try and get this in much categorical order as we can. Ukraine declares state of emergency. Canada has ended the Emergency Act. America has started a national emergency because of the Freedom Convoy. And the UN is hosting a series of emergency meetings on Russia and now the invasion of Ukraine. The People's Convoy in America has started. Beware of everyone that is joining that. I wish you all luck, but I'm sure you all are probably more than aware that the convoy will be infiltrated at some point in time. So watch out for those people who don't fit in exactly. Let us not be deceived or fooled or caught saying something that could be jeopardizing to the movement of freedom. Always assume that you are being recorded when you're speaking to someone. Always assume that. Which means be on your best behavior. Be an American. Act like it. Show the world that we can still lead through the darkness. And we can still be a light to the world. At the end of the day, really the only light that's going to save us is the light from Jesus. All right, so let's get into Ukraine. Russia has invaded Ukraine. This is what I've been gathering. And, man, I've been looking from BBC, Russian Times, Moscow Times, India news agencies, European news agencies, our American news agencies, various different nuances of news agencies, and... there's just so much to cover. But this is what I have found so far, and I'm sure many of you are already doing your own investigation into this. But this is my after-action report of the initial invasion. Thus far, we have mixed information that's being reported. But at the beginning of this morning, there was 7 civilian deaths. Now, I'm told that that number, let me see, around 9 p.m. this morning was around 40. Now it's around 150. Supposedly, there is one Russian helicopter and 5 Russian planes that have been shot down and destroyed by Ukrainian air defenses. Ukrainian residents the Ukrainian president has issued a shoot-to-kill order to the Ukrainian military forces. Civilians are fleeing the cities and panicking. You also have Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, who has said that he will arm every man, woman, and child of that country in order to fight the Russians, and that he will personally put a gun in every Ukrainian's hand that chooses to carry one. Does that sound like a peacekeeping operation to you? Moving on. There are runs on ATMs in Ukraine. Ukraine is currently under a state of martial law. There's the run on the ATMs, and the banks are restricting cash withdrawals. So let's stop right there for a second. We speak about this a lot on this show when it comes to preparedness. Trust me when I say that if you've never been in a war zone before, it is quite chaotic. It is how would I put this? It is alien to human nature to see the level of destruction and rubble and fire and the mixture of smells and smoke and human suffering. Most people can't handle it too well. Most are in a state of shock after the initial bombs fall. For those of us in the military, we are as well sometimes. For the people, the civilian populations in these bombed out regions of Ukraine, whatever they had in their refrigerator, whatever they had in their pantry, whatever they had in their pockets and their wallets, is all that they have right now. Until this stabilizes, until Russia tamps down the aggression, it's going to continue to be this way. There are probably not too many stores open. There are probably not too many restaurants feeding people. Power has probably been lost in greater areas of the regions of Ukraine. And a military occupation is underway. People will have to resort to barter and trade until their economy gets picked back up, and that's going to depend on what puppet government Vladimir Putin has installed. Now, once again, prepping. There is always a need for why you should keep at least $1,000 on you. I don't mean in your person. I mean somewhere within your home that is available for that emergency. You should have a couple little nest eggs there if you have the ability, at least a couple $100. You know, if you're by yourself, have at least $500 worth of cash. If you're a parent like me, you need to think of your children. If it came to war here in America, I would do my best to fast for as long as possible, and I would do my best to intermittent fast after I can't fast any longer, just to be able to preserve the food stocks that I have so that my children always have something to eat. Now, most of us Americans carry a little extra body weight, so you're going to be fine. You can fast for at least 4 or 5 days, as long as you're drinking water. You can drink broth. You know, you can supplement with liquids. But you know, when you don't have the ability to go out and buy anything, you can't get anything from the ATM. No one's taking your money. People are too afraid to open up their stores, and then there's a run on the stores because everyone gets into a panic. What do you do? Well, for all of you who have prepared, you should have at least 6 months' worth of food sitting in your home. Now, an affiliate sponsor of mine is My Patriot Supply. You can go to My Patriot Supply and buy as much food as you can right now. Trust me, hundreds of thousands of people are doing it right now because of what's happening in Ukraine. If you don't know how to get on the site, you can go through AmericanVindictaShow.com. You can find the sponsors right there on the first page. Just scroll down a little bit. If you click on it, it'll send you over to My Patriot Supply. I get a little bit of a money kickback from it. But, you know, even if you don't go through my site, buy food. You cannot eat your bullets. You cannot eat the stuff in your home that's not edible. You can try. But trust me, when you run out of food, you are going to be very, very desperate, especially if you're a parent. Desperate people during desperate times will do desperate things to desperately feed their loved ones. Something I used to tell some of my younger officers is never underestimate the depravity of man. When you think mankind could not go any lower, people will resort to cannibalism. Just look up Cannibal Island if you don't believe me. So that's my spiel for prepping. Continue to prep. Get a little bit of money in your pocket. In case the gas prices shoot through the roof, go ahead and fill up your car or your truck now. Fill up those 5 gallon buckets or 5 gallon gas canisters now before there's a run on the gas. It will happen. All right, so let's continue. Ukrainians are urged to stay indoors. But this is conflicting, because even though they're urged to stay indoors, Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is also saying that he will arm every single one of those civilians. So will we see some sort of a military occupation fought by a guerrilla warfare and paired with a professional army from the Ukraine? I don't know. It is a possibility. There has been various reports of amphibious landings from Russia's military. Today there are more conflicting reports that there were not amphibious landings, there was actually paratrooper landings and other air assaults that were happening throughout Ukraine. The Ukrainian air bases, their airports, and military air bases have all been attacked. This will be a strategy for Russia to be able to control the command and communication and transportation of any military forces internally, so that they can also externally bring in military forces from their air force. The Ukrainian parliament is requesting this no-fly zone because of that reason. Now, Russia came in from various different directions. They pulled a lot of troops in from Belarus, which means that Belarus is cooperating with Russia. That means if Russia gets pulled into some sort of an actual conflict with the United Nations or with NATO, then Belarus will more than likely aid, as well as Kazakhstan and maybe a couple of other countries, China being one of them. I'm still betting on it. I think China is going to lie in wait. They're going to outwardly rebuke Russia. Inwardly, they're supporting it. I was looking at a couple of various different shows last night, and there's already reports that China is agreeing with Russia's intervention into Ukraine. That's what they're calling it, a peaceful, peacekeeping intervention to stop Nazism. China is shadow banning, blacklisting, censoring people who are speaking inappropriately or negatively about Russia. So once again, there's your response. You know, they are on Russia's side, even if they don't agree with one another. Geopolitically, they are friends. Everything else, they're not allies. But we have forced Russia to turn to China as their ally. Now, all these sanctions that are happening, we're threatening the Russian ruble. They're not going to really care about that too much. Putin is beyond sanctions. He's beyond patience. He said that. He's beyond waiting and negotiating. He thinks that Ukraine is holding Russia back. He thinks that NATO is entrenching themselves along the western and southern borders of Russia, which is driving him into a corner. And he found a likely ally in that corner, and that is China. But China has their hands in the cookie jar all over the world. Oh, be watching this. Price of gold and silver are rising quickly. Last night as I was watching, gold rose about $36 within 2 hours. That's kind of high, but it can go faster and higher than that. At this escalation, if we do not see any any tampering down of this fire that's in Ukraine, gold may reach above $2,000 an ounce. Right now, it's at $1,910.80 an ounce. And silver is at $24 an ounce. Platinum is at $1,058 an ounce. And palladium is at $2,362 an ounce. And for all of you who are rolling in the dough, rhodium is $18,950 an ounce, but asking for $20,000 an ounce. Years and years ago, I had the opportunity to buy 1 ounce of rhodium. And I remember saying, I don't know what the hell that is. I really don't need it. I just want gold and silver. Because whenever I first got into this whole prepping thing, many, many years ago, people were saying, oh, invest in gold and silver, because the stock market will plunge and the dollar will devalue. And, you know, of course, that was many years ago. It takes many years for these things to happen at times. And so, like many others, I bought all this gold and silver. And then I look at rhodium. And at that point in time, it was what? It was maybe a couple $1,000s an ounce. Comes in like a little vial. And now it's $20,000 an ounce. So I'm really kicking myself for that one. Moving on, Biden and Ukrainian president had an early morning phone call that led to Biden condemning Russia's military operations in Ukraine and promises severe sanctions on Russia and even on Putin himself. Now, today, during an interview, President Joe Biden was lambasted by the media, asking, why aren't you putting these sanctions on Putin now? Why aren't you putting these harsher sanctions, like taking away the SWIFT from Russia? The SWIFT is the way and the international banks can talk to each other and then exchange currencies. But they're not doing it. He said at the behest of the European nations, we're not going to take Russia off the SWIFT system yet. But if you were really serious, Joe, you would have done it already. And if you were really serious, you would be sanctioning Putin right now. But he wants to target individuals in Russia and families and oligarchs as well. What is that going to matter to the people of Ukraine who are getting their doors kicked in right now by Spetsnaz? What is that going to matter to the people of Ukraine who are losing power around their cities and waiting for the next artillery shell or rocket to fall on their apartment complex? I've seen the videos. I've seen the bloodshed, and I've seen plenty of these reporters out there where non-combatants are being hit by artillery fire. And all we as a Western nation and our allies in the Western nations can do is say that we condemn Russia, Russia bad, bad Russia, shouldn't do that. Now you're going to put on our naughty list and you're not going to be able to spend your money at Costco. Vladimir Putin is beyond that. He has evolved beyond his need for that market. There are other markets available to the Russian Federation, and he is there now. Do you not think that Vladimir Putin considered all this before the invasion into Ukraine? Vladimir Putin, like most of the Russian military, are true strategists. They will take decades of strategy. America, we have a problem with doing the whack-a-mole. Years ago, a friend of mine who was an Army intelligence captain told me that the problem that we have is we see a bad guy over here and whack, we go to hit him. Then another bad guy pops up and then whack. And that's American politics when it comes to attacking tyranny and terrorism. But what the communists do, Russia and China, they will put their plants in our country. They will slowly change the generations of new people in our country. They will buy off politicians, and slowly but surely, you will almost accept and want communism before they invade. Now, all it took for Russia to invade Ukraine was for two small little runaway towns in the Donbas region to say that they declare themselves to be independent republics and ask for Russia to notarize them, and they did. And then almost immediately, peacekeeping operations. Now we are all the way up into Chernobyl and fighting. It's slowly spinning out of our control. This is the thing that I don't like, though. As an American veteran, I want to see a strong military response, but that means I need to have strong leadership. I want to have that motivating speech from that general, from that politician, who will caress me and pat me on the head as I shine my boots and as I load my gun, tell me everything's going to be okay. Go bayonet charge into the enemy for America, and then cue epic speech, and then the national anthem. But we're not getting that. We have a woke army. We have a woke military. We have completely dehumanized our military. We've demoralized our infantry. Do you really think what's happening in Ukraine right now, that we could take all the mentally deranged people that we now allow in the military and really expect a positive outcome? The command and control will not be there for that. Biden has still not considered a military response to Russia. We'll see how long that lasts. I think something will eventually pull us into it. Today, during this meeting, or the interview that Biden had, the announcement, he was asked by a reporter, are you in talkings with Russia? Or not Russia, with China? And is China on board with helping the U.S. versus Russia and Ukraine? And he said, I'm not at liberty to speak about that right now. Now, that raises hairs on my neck for a couple reasons. First, Hunter Biden took $31 million from Chinese oligarchs. China has Joe Biden in his back pocket. So, will we have a president that is bought and paid for by China, and a Democratic Party that is bought and paid for and sponsored by China and the World Economic Forum? What can we really expect? at this rate, I don't think we're going to do anything against Russia. I think Russia has taken Ukraine. Ukraine will do their best to fight them off, and then will eventually lose. Like most guerrilla occupations, this will happen for generations from now. And it will be another endless war. Russia has waged those before in Afghanistan, but they pulled out because it ended up becoming costly. Another way to do that is just simply install your own government and then have your government police your civilians. And then when revolution starts, we'll come back. You know, I mean, this is a... It doesn't take a military strategist to see this, folks. Taiwan. Taiwan is now on high alert. Taiwan is definitely looking over their shoulder, waiting for China to pounce. Rumors are, after the Olympics are done with, that China will move on Taiwan. We have an actual agreement, a contractual agreement with Taiwan to protect them, though. But will we go through with it? With this government? Man, I don't think so. I don't know. I can make my best hypothetical guess about it, but honestly, with our woke government and them being such a loyalist to China and the, I can't say that word on radio, the wussification of our politicians, I think China's going to steamroll Taiwan. I really do. I don't think there's anything Taiwan can do about it. What's interesting is that the White House and DHS have been eerily quiet since this occurred. There's a rumor mill from people that I know in my previous job that said that the government will be moving to a DEFCON 2 soon. Now, unlike a lot of the other media hosts that are out there who say, you know, I have this source and I have that source and you never hear about the source. My sources are still currently in the government and they're worried. In fact, a friend of mine who's a commander, he was one of my younger officers. Me and him were talking earlier today. One of the first questions he asked me this morning, are you going to go fill up all your gas cans? I said, yeah, I am. I'm going to fill up my truck, fill up my gas cans, fill up my side-by-side, probably fill up my propane tank. You know, you never know, folks. You just don't know. If we meddle in Russia's business right now, Russia says Vladimir Putin threatens, promises, that he will unleash something on us that we have never seen before. We've seen nuclear warfare. We've seen all-out warfare, like World War II, World War I. We've seen insurgency warfare. We've seen chemical, biological warfare. What have we not seen before, folks? You have not seen an entire nation in blackout. The EMP, the critical infrastructure down scenario, is better than the nuclear bomb. If I was Russia and I made that threat, it's because I already had the plans and the means to take your grid down and black your eyes out. That's what I would do. I'd take out the various different forms of power generation stations, let all your transformers and sub-transformers explode. I'd take out a couple of your satellites. Every single satellite we have is a military satellite. Don't be confused on that. I'd take out your satellites. I'd allow China to help me. And then I'd start coming after your troops in Europe and elsewhere. I would steamroll over Europe, and China would help. And then I would force capitulate other nations to surrender their arms and to join my military. And then we can have a peacekeeping mission in America. That's the way I see it. That's my Red Dawn. China is not a paper tiger, but they are not the military strategists or aggressors like Russia is. Russia is a brutal regime. The Russian military is brutal. Just as the American military is brutal, do not think we are not. China is on a different level. China is on the same level as the Nazi SS. They do not think of human life the way we do. It's just plain, simple fact. And if they bring their forces to these United States, oh man, we got some problems. Real quick, Ukraine is warning of radioactive dust that could blanket Europe as fighting rages near the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. It only gets worse. Strangely enough, let's talk about Red Dawn real quick before we get out of here. Red Dawn doesn't always just, you know, start with you wake up one morning in Colorado and then the Russians are there, all right? There's a buildup to all this. The Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, the North Koreans, they're not going to magically show up over American skies unaccosted and then paratroop onto small-town USA. That is suicide. That's not going to happen. There is no military out there that can strategically launch a invasion force across the Pacific or across the Atlantic and not meet American fleets. It's just not going to happen. They don't have the planes to travel intercontinentally to deliver those troops either. Not in a secure fashion. So there are other means that has to happen before that dawn can come. And this is where it starts. The Department of Justice program that was targeting the Communist Chinese Party for economic espionage has been officially closed. A quote from Senator Tom Cotton stated, "The CCP, the Communist Chinese Party, has stolen trillions of dollars of American intellectual property, destroyed millions of dollars of American jobs, and turned students and researchers studying in the United States into foreign spies." That's how it starts. That's how you build your own guerrilla force within this country. Now, sure, a lot of those are going to be skinny jean wearing blue and purple haired freaks out there from the SJW club, but there are still your hardcores. Antifa is one of them. Black Lives Matter is one of them. We know that the Communist Chinese Party, through their subsidiaries like George Soros, does give money to these parties, these terror groups. And there are others that are out there. But why has this Trump-era program been recently canceled by the Biden administration? Why are we no longer going to watch for Chinese spies in America? The Biden administration says because it is racist. Because of race. We have become a woken nation of idiots and cowards and morons. And they are going to doom us if we do not do anything about it. Once again, I protest that I don't think the midterms are going to happen. I think we're going to be in war with Russia. We are on track for that. I have said this before. We're on track for it. We're on track for a civil war. We're on track for a revolution ourselves. So is Canada. Canada's on the right track for a revolution. And all that turmoil. Yeah, there won't be no elections during all that. Absolutely not. So before we leave, we're going to talk about Red Dawn real quick. A little bit of material that I've been researching. The U.S. is big. It's about the size of Europe. The state of Montana is larger than Germany. Now keep in mind that it is well positioned from all the other major world powers. If the Soviets or the Russian Federation are foolish enough to attack America, they have two choices for supply lines. They can go through the Pacific Ocean, where supply ships are open to the numerical and technological might of the U.S. Navy, or they can go through Alaska, where there are few roads to transport supplies, and they are dangerous roads. If you are able to consolidate a foothold, you have to battle through deserts, mountains, forests, and the mental strength and will of the American people. A completely new level of scorched earth will be unleashed upon the Russian Federation. Plus, the Russians decide to take on Britain and China during the movie Red Dawn, which are two other powerful foes. And to make it slightly better for them, they have decided to not attack China and potentially have the Chinese attack America as well. The Russian army will invade America between the Mississippi River and the Rockies, while the Chinese take the West Coast. Soviet forces, or the Russian Federation, can potentially divide the country and take out coordinated pieces at a time. Now, once again, that's a lot of moving pieces. It's a lot of manpower. That's a lot of artillery. It's a lot of tracked vehicles, a lot of tanks. And then you also have to deal with the local populations as you move, who are probably going to accost you and protest you, who are probably going to wage their own guerrilla warfare against them. So as long as the power is on and we can communicate with one another, I see this being very, very troubling for Russia. Now, what can an insurgency force do against a professional military? Well, the reality, based on my experience, based on the United States military's experience for fighting decades worth of guerrilla wars, like our fights against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and ISIS and other Islamic terror groups around the world, not to mention the NVA from Vietnam, is that an out-and-out victory by an insurgent force, which would be us now, could well take decades. An insurgency is not about guns and bullets. 90% of the time will be spent on logistics to survive rather than fighting. Tactics and leadership are going to be key. Ruthlessness will become a necessity against a larger enemy. The insurgent force will probably include less than 5% of our population. Insurgents will include full-time, hardcore guerrilla units, but the majority will be part-time guerrillas. The insurgents can deny rural areas from the aggressor. Urban areas are going to be a question of how to take on cities like New York or Chicago or LA or Dallas. These bigger cities are going to cause quite the problem. And based on history, the Russians will be very brutal. The Russians will have complete air superiority if they have it their way. Regular Russian units will be a mixed bag of effectiveness. And the most difficult units for a guerrilla force to compete against will be the Russian Spetsnaz. Weapons needed by guerrillas to be effective against a Russian military would be rocket-propelled grenade launchers, 40 Mi-Mi grenade launchers, belt-fed machine guns, long-range precise rifles, adequate anti-tank weapons, and shouldered-fired rockets. Tanks are a big problem. And you don't own one gun in your safe to take on a tank. It's a simple fact. You're not going to magically shoot through the main gun of cannon of the tank and then kill the driver. That's just not the way the world works. With all this, though, I doubt that a movie would ever include stuff like this because movies are highly unrealistic. But the casualty rates with a guerrilla force against Russia will probably approach the numbers of 80 to 90% of casualties. And that's what happens during war. And we're not talking about Hollywood. There's a lot of moving parts. We're going to keep diving into it. We're just scratching the surface of Red Dawn. Do your own research. Prepare adequately. If you feel like supporting me and what I'm doing, there's a donation button that's on my website. Sorry if I sound like crap. Like I said, I've been up since 4:30 this morning, and I barely even slept. And even now, I'm still just trying to update myself on what's happening in Ukraine and elsewhere around the world. Pay attention to the news. Pay attention to the signs and the times, and may God be with all of you. My name's Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. Out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.